Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape or CD will have different uses based on who listens to it. If the listener works within the company, the process outlined on this tape will be very helpful in terms of presenting proposals to your supervisor. Most listening to this presentation, however, are owners. If this is the case, then this presentation will be very helpful when one of your employees walks into your office and says, "Hey boss, we need to buy one of these." After listening to this tape, the owner will know exactly what questions to ask to be sure the item requested is really needed. This month's speaker is very familiar to most of our longtime listeners. Phil Vanhooser has done a number of tapes for this series over the past 10 years. Phil continues to make presentations to groups and associations across the country on leadership skills. Now sit back and relax, and let's find out how to earn the right to be heard.
Today I want to talk about earning the right to be heard. Certainly an aspect of followership as important as leadership itself. Earning the right to be heard. Let me ask this question. Have you ever had a situation where you tried to get your boss to do something? You tried to sell him or her on an idea that you had determined long before was important not only to you and to possibly your department, but to the entire organization. And you tried to sell him or her on this idea only to find that they wouldn't give you the time of the day, or at least apparently so. You did all that you knew to do, and they just would not listen to you. If you've had that experience, you know how frustrating that can be, and you also know that it can change your attitude. Your attitude can go south. You can get so disturbed and discouraged that, frankly, you don't want to do anything from that point forward. Well, of course, to be a good leader, I believe you've got to be a good follower, and you've got to earn your stripes as a follower to have the opportunity to lead. Well, in that vein, to earn your stripes as a follower, you must first earn the right to be heard. I'm going to give you a process today that will help you do just that. But first, let me set the stage. Understand that when you're trying to sell an idea to someone, an individual or possibly even a committee or group of individuals above you, people who have decision-making authority over you, when you get to the point that you try to sell them on an idea, you do so because you have an emotional commitment to that thing, whatever that thing might be. In other words, you have determined in your mind that this is important, and so important that you're willing to take it to the next level. You are committed emotionally. However, the decision-making individual or the decision-making body does not share that same level of emotion with you. They, on the other hand, are going to make their determination, their decision, based on logic and rationale, not emotion. And when you think about those two contrasts, emotion that you bring to the process, logic and rationale by which the decision will be made, and then you mesh those two, all too often we have conflict and confrontation that becomes uncomfortable. Well, I want to show you how you can overcome that conflict and that confrontation of these two contrasting approaches in such a way as to be effective in earning the right to be heard. Now, first and foremost, you must change your approach. They're not going to change theirs, nor should they. They went off to college and they practiced for years this process of developing a logical decision-making approach. They're not going to change it just because you are interested in selling an idea emotionally at this point in time. So you must first and foremost decide right now that I will change my approach to be more consistent with what they will accept in theirs. That's number one. Number two, you've got to recognize that your primary objective here is not, and I repeat, not getting what you want. Your primary objective is earning the right to be heard. Your secondary objective is to get that what you want or what you're working toward. Now, if you keep those two points in mind, that number one, we're going to become more logical and rational in our earning the right to be heard process, and number two, the most important thing is to earn the right to be heard. The second most important thing is to get what we want. then I predict success with this particular technique if you're willing to do those two things. The technique itself is a five-step process. And I'll illustrate these points, these five steps, with a question for each. In other words, managers, decision makers, are going to ask questions of you. And for you to earn the right to be heard, you must successfully answer their questions to earn the right to go to the next question. I think you'll understand the process as we unfold it before you here in the next few minutes. The first of the five questions that's almost always asked is this: how much does it cost? How much does it cost? You know, if you come in with an idea, you want, let's say, a new computer printer, or it doesn't really make any difference what it is, and you come in and you're emotionally sold on this concept, on this idea, this is important to you, you're going to march yourself right in and say, I need a new computer printer. Well, you can just predict that one of the first, if not the first question that you're going to be asked is, how much is it going to cost? Now, there are right answers and there are wrong answers to this question. Let me give the wrong answers first. There are basically three. Here they are. Number one, how much does it cost, Phil?
I don't know.
Wrong answer. Wrong answer number two. Phil, how much is it going to cost? Not much. Wrong answer number three. Phil, how much is it going to cost us to get this new computer printer? It doesn't matter. We need it. Again, wrong answer. Those three wrong answers are wrong for very simple reasons. Number one, when you say, I don't know, it gives the impression you haven't done your homework. You haven't cared enough to prepare. And that's going to turn people off immediately. You're not going to earn the right to be heard. You're going to earn the right to stop that process right here. The second wrong answer, not much, gives indication that if it doesn't cost much, then therefore it must not be worth much. The third wrong answer, it doesn't matter, we want it, we need it, gives indication that you have no clue how the organization runs itself. We make decisions based on, again, logic and rationale, not emotion. So all three of those answers, even though you may be feeling them or thinking them, are the wrong answers and therefore should be avoided at all costs. But there is a right answer. And I'll give it to you right now. The right answer to Phil, how much will it cost, is this. And you lay out, and by the way, on all five of these steps, not just the first one, all five of these, you put this in writing and then verbally discuss it so that you're supporting it both on paper and through our words. You share with this person when he or she asks, how much is it going to cost? You hand a piece of paper with the cost breakdown well-defined before them. You tell them, here are the tangible costs. It's going to cost this for a purchase price. It's going to cost this for a shipping price. It's going to cost this for a warranty cost. But here you also include the intangible costs. And this is how much it's going to cost per individual for us to train. Here's a per hour wage that this person has, and it's going to take 2.5 hours to train them to use it, so we multiply the 2.5 hours per their wage. In other words, we're getting a hard and fast number to answer the question, how much does it cost? Now, let me caution you. Let me tell you not to do something that many of us have learned to do in our experience over the years. Here's what I don't want you to do at any cost. Do not inflate the number. Now, I know, and you know how we do it budget time. We pick out, we determine the best we can what our budget is, and then we add something to it, 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever. And then we go in to do battle to discuss and defend our budgets, and they say, oh, we can't do that. We've got to cut this budget by 10%. And, oh, you have this pained look and expression. And finally you say, well, okay. And then you go back to your department and say, yes, we got it. We got it. We got 10% more than we really needed. Folks, it's a game that you cannot afford to play when you're attempting to earn the right to be heard. You've got to have a number that is defensible. You've got to have a number that's legitimate. That so that when they ask you, well, Phil, this looks interesting, but I'm sorry, we can't afford $743 that you have lined out on this piece of paper. We can only afford, you know, $630. At that particular point and saying, yes, I'll take it, you've got to look at them and say, I'm sorry. The $740-some-odd that's outlined right here is defensible. You see what the numbers say. And if we can't afford it, then I would rather wait till later than to do something halfway. In other words, you're showing your commitment, but you're doing it in a logical, rational way as opposed to letting emotions control you and your response. The first question that you've got to be prepared for is, how much will it cost? The second question is also equally predictable. The second question is, what are the benefits of doing this thing? What are the benefits? The cost-benefit question almost always comes in 1-2 order. Bang, bang. Well, the benefit question, the cost question is important because you've got to answer it to get to the benefit question. But the benefit question, in its own way, may be the single most important question on the list of five that you will have to answer. And I'll tell you part of the reason why now, and I'll tell you part of the reason why in a little while. The first thing you've got to understand is, when they ask you the benefit question, you've got to nail this answer. You've got to nail it. If you can come up with 55 different benefits that will be realized as a result of this thing that you're suggesting, then you've got to list all 55 of them. Now, keep one thing in mind. Regardless of how many are on your list of benefits, be they 55 or be they 5, it makes no difference. Make sure that each and every benefit is legitimate and defensible. Now, please, hear these words. They've got to be legitimate and defensible. And I'll tell you why. If you throw this list of 55 things on your boss's desk when he or she asks you, oh, well, what are the benefits of doing this thing? When you throw the list out, they're going to look and they're going to say, my gosh, 55 things, that's wonderful. And then they're going to pick through the list. They're going to say, Phil, tell me a little bit about number 27. And boy, it's legitimate and defensible. So you say, boom, 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 boom. I mean, you answer that question. They're impressed. So they say, well, what about number 36? Boom, 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 boom. Legitimate and defensible. What about number 42? Boom, 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 boom. But then you come to number 49. And the boss asks you about number 49. And you debated as to whether or not to put it on the list in the first place, because you knew that it was not necessarily legitimate or defensible, but you also knew that there were certain decision makers that this was a hot project for them, a pet project for them. And so you list it, trying to sort of grease the skids a little bit. Folks, wrong thing to do. Because when they ask you to describe number 49 or to defend number 49, remember, it's not legitimate and it's not defensible. And so you end up saying things like, and you just can't answer the question. And as a result, this list of 55, let's assume 54 of them being legitimate and defensible, all of them are put in question because you can't respond legitimately and defensively to one. Make sure that even if there's a list of only one thing, that one thing can be defended and legitimized based on what you have to share with your boss. In so doing, you earn the right to go to the third question. Now, before I go to the third question, let me remind you about questions 1 and 2. Cost and benefit will almost always come in 1-2 order. I would say as often as 85 to 90% of the time, those will be the first two questions. Cost, benefit. What's the cost? What's the benefit? Now, the other three questions that I'm about to identify will, in fact, come, but they will not come necessarily in a predictable order, like number 1 and 2. I'm going to offer them in an order, but it may, in fact, be reversed. But be prepared for all three of these questions. Here's question number 3. The third question is, how much time will it take? How much time will it take? Remember, in any business organization, time equals money. And the managers who are most successful have long ago learned that we've got to make sure that we spend our time well, because in so doing, we're spending our money well. So when they ask you, how much time will it take? What they're saying is, how much time will it take for you to get this item in if we order it? How much time will it take for us to get it up and running? Now, you have got to know precisely how much time it will take. You've got to know how much shipping time and how much assembly time and how much training time. But here's something I encourage you. Remember back on cost, when I said, when they ask you how much does it cost, I said, never inflate the number. Never inflate the number. But now listen to the reverse of that. When they ask you how much time it will take, always inflate the amount of time that you anticipate. If you think it'll take 2 weeks, then you say 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Why? Because you always want to come in under time and therefore under budget. The reality is this. If you say this is going to take 2 weeks and your boss buys off on it. What he or she is going to immediately do is go and tell the other folks, hey, we've got a new printer coming in. It'll be in 2 weeks. If you need to use it, don't worry about it. Don't send that printing project out. Just use it. Use the printer that you have, that we're going to have. It'll do quality and size. It'll meet all of your needs. Well, immediately, people start making their plans based on that 2 week planned time interval that you had established earlier. Now, you know what happens. The product's out of stock. Or the shipping company is on strike. Or they send the wrong model, and so therefore you have to send it back. All of that throws that 2 week planned period, that time period, into a state of flux, causing problems. On the other hand, if you say 4 weeks and then are able to do it in 2 or 3, people look at you like you're the savior. Man, oh man, John or Jim or Judy, or in my case, Phil, prepares well and therefore has a good grip on time. The third question that you need to ask to earn the right to be heard, that you need to answer once asked to earn the right to be heard, is how much time will it take? The fourth question is equally important. The fourth question is, how difficult will it be to implement? How difficult will it be to implement? You are far and away ahead if you create an implementation plan, and when the boss asks, well, how difficult will this be to implement? You say, well, I anticipated you would ask that question. Here's my implementation plan that I think will work well. Now, a couple of things. Let's assume he or she looks at your implementation plan and says, this won't work at all. I want to create a brand new implementation plan. What do you say? Well, of course you say, okay. But what if they look at the implementation plan and they say, Phil, that's great, wonderful implementation plan. However, there are 2 or 3 little things that you thought were key, but they think need to be changed. What do you say? Well, again, you say, fine, wonderful, marvelous. Why? Because you want the thing. You know, the implementation plan is not the key thing. The having the opportunity to earn the right to be heard and to get what you want is what you're working for. But now consider the third thing, and this is the most difficult for a lot of people. Consider that they take your implementation plan, that they use your implementation plan exactly as you have developed it, but they take full credit for the implementation plan themselves. They don't give you any. What then? How do you handle that? Well, we know how some people handle it. They go crazy. Well, I can't believe it. And they go out and they undermine the efforts of their boss at every opportunity, on every turn. Folks, you can't afford to do that. If someone takes your implementation plan, uses it as their own, you've got to keep in mind 2 things. Number one, they always will remember who did the implementation plan. You, too, may be the only folks that know that, but they will never forget that you are the source, you are the author of this implementation plan. Therefore, when they need something else important, they will come to you again. In other words, you have earned the right to be heard from that individual. The second thing you need to consider is, if you undermine their authority by taking away or by embarrassing them publicly, by exposing them for not having authored this implementation plan, they will also never forget that. They'll never forget that, and number one, they will not give you other opportunities. Number two, they may have or take the opportunity to get even with you at some point. The implementation plan is a critical step in the earning the right to be heard process. And those people who are not willing to do the implementation plan, and those people who take too much ownership of it, oftentimes ruin their opportunity to be heard as opposed to enhancing it. Which brings us to the fifth question. Now, by the time you get to question number 5, a lot of people assume that it's a done deal. There are no other problems. I mean, by this time, we've earned the right to be heard. We've gotten to the fifth question. There should be no other problem. Don't get too cocky too quick. Because the fifth question, in a lot of situations, in fact, is the determining factor or the determining question. And how you answer it will determine whether or not you get that which you want, which is to earn the right to be heard and whatever else it is that you're working toward. Here's the question. What are the consequences of not doing this thing? Now, the other 4 questions are pretty legitimate. I mean, they sound almost anticipated. You know, you expect them to come. But this 5th question sounds negative. Well, Phil, you've answered the question of cost and benefit and time and implementation, but what if we don't do it? What really is it going to hurt? Now, as I mentioned before, there are both wrong answers and right answers for this particular question. Let me give you the wrong answers first. The wrong answer is this. You bonehead. I can't believe you even suggest we not do something like this. I've done all this work. I've shown you that it's legitimate. I've shown that it's defensible. And now you ask a question. What happens if we don't do it? I can't believe it. Well, you get the picture. The attitude alone will sour the person. You'll not earn the right to be heard from that person because you can't control your emotions. Let me tell you the right answer to this question. And this question, or this answer to this question, is extremely important. Here's the right answer. When they say, Phil, what happens if we don't do this? Obviously, you've put a lot of time and effort and energy in it, and it sounds like a relatively good idea, but let's just consider the other side. What happens if we don't? What are the consequences of not doing this thing? Let me tell you the answer that I give and that I encourage you to give as well, almost verbatim. The first thing that I would say is this. Well, boss, you know that I believe this is important because I've spent a lot of time and energy, and I've laid this out so that you can see what my thought processes are. And I believe it is valuable. I believe it would be valuable to the organization and to our department, to our customers, to our employees, etc. I believe it's important. That's statement number one. Statement number two. However, if we don't get this, if you choose not to grant this request, you can rest assured that I'm going to continue to work as hard as I've ever worked for this department, for this organization. It's not going to change me. That's an important point to be made to your bosses, just to see what your emotional state of mind is relative to this issue. But point number three in your response is the critical one. It's the pivotal one that may, in fact, make or break the end result, and that is you earning the right to be heard and you getting what it is that you want. At this point, you look, and this is the part that I suggest you quote verbatim. You look directly into your boss's eyes and say, Boss, you know I'll continue to support you. However, these are the benefits which will not be realized as a result of your decision here today to not do this thing. And at that point, you revisit the list of benefits that you created earlier. Remember, the benefits that were legitimate and defensible. Hear the words again. These are the benefits which will not be realized as a result of your decision here today. Remember, they've already bought off on the benefits because they've continued to ask you questions. In other words, you've continued to earn the right to be heard. And now you're saying these very benefits that you justified earlier will not be realized as a result of your decision. In other words, you put the burden of responsibility solely back in their lap. Now, some of you may say, well, man, that's pretty risky. Well, yeah, it is risky. But remember, it's not so much what we say. More important is how we say it. And so you say it with professionalism, and you say it with confidence, and you say it with a genuine and sincere desire to make the organization better than maybe it was before you even suggested this thing. Now, what's the end result? Will you always get what you want? Well, the answer, of course, is no. No, you won't always get what you want. Sometimes budgets won't allow it, or sometimes there's other plans that are afoot that you may not be aware of, and frankly, that your boss may not be able to share with you because they're confidential. There are any number of reasons why, after earning the right to be heard, in other words, being able to answer all five of these questions, you will not, in fact, get what you want. But remember, our primary objective was to earn the right to be heard, because once earned, that boss will never forget the logical, rational process that you employed to sell them on an idea that you saw as important. Thus, you will have future opportunities to do the same thing again. Will it work? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, sometimes the boss may not ask the question. So what do? In that situation, you give them the answer. Well, boss, I didn't know exactly what you'd ask, so I tried to anticipate some questions, and here are the questions that I've anticipated. And then you answer the very questions. I thought you might ask what the cost is. Well, here are the costs. I thought you might ask what the benefits are. Well, here are some benefits. You get the picture. So you can manipulate this and you can maneuver it as is necessary. But the most important thing is to realize that you've got to separate emotion from logic and rationale, and that you've got to work to earn the right to be heard as opposed to just simply getting what you want. Now, if you do these five things, I promise you that the response and the reaction from the people that you present this logical, rational approach to will be positive, and it will be noticeably so. The end result, of course, is that you've earned the right to be heard. And that's the first step to being a more effective leader because you've learned to be a more effective follower.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our totally redesigned website now has a complete listing of all of the products and services Grandy & Associates has to offer. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. As a reminder, our three-day basic business boot camp continues to take the industry by storm. For more information, check out our website or give us a call for a free four-page flyer on the boot camp that provides all the details. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.